May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It may have been many years ago, but can you ever remember someone saying to you when you were a child, "You can't do that, you're not big enough"? I am the third of three brothers, the youngest, and we don't meet up as a family very often, but this year my brothers have come from Hong Kong and New Zealand respectively, and so I've been thinking back to our childhood shared together. I probably had inbuilt aspirations of wanting to keep up with what my brothers were doing. So I always hated it when I was growing up and wanted to do something and was told that I was too little. Maybe that happened to you. Did you ever hear the words, "You can't go on that ride in the fun fair, you're too little. You can't walk to school by yourself, you're too little. You can't stay at home by yourself, you're too little"? Perhaps if you're a member of parliament today, you might have heard in the Houses of Westminster, "You can't have a substantive vote on the Brexit bill yet, you're too little." I digress. Most of us at one stage of life or another have been told, "You can't do that, you're too little." Well, our readings today make it plain that God is interested in overturning our preconceptions about who is too little. The Lord says, "Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times." It is unexpected that God would bring forth a ruler from little Bethlehem. Bethlehem is barely worth counting amongst the clans of Judah. Yet God chooses to bring his magnificent Messiah out of this town. Why? Well, one of the answers is that the Messiah is of the lineage of David, and David was a Benjamite. Well, that's true, but it misses the point of verse 2. The point of verse 2 is that Bethlehem is small, not that it is great because David was born there. God chooses something small, quiet, out of the way, and does something there that will change the course of history and eternity. And verse 3 goes on to say, "So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. And when he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness, and he will bring peace." Bethlehem, you cannot produce or do anything noteworthy. You are simply too little. Well, God has decided otherwise. Bethlehem, known as the city of David, would do something amazing with God's help. It would be the birthplace of the Christ, the Messiah. My friends, this is God's way. God's way to subvert human preconceptions of what is great and mighty. Let's look ahead to the Christmas story, which we know so well, for a brief moment. You see, God chooses an outbuilding so no innkeeper could boast. He chose the comfort of my inn. God chooses a manger so no woodworker could boast. He chose the craftsmanship of my bed. He chose Bethlehem so no one could boast. The greatness of our city was the birthplace of God. And he chooses me and you, and freely and unconditionally, to stop the mouth of all human boasting. This is the point of Micah chapter 5. The deepest meaning of the littleness and insignificance of Bethlehem is that God does not bestow the blessings of the Messiah on the basis of our greatness, our merit, or our achievement. He does not elect cities or peoples because of their prominence, grandeur, or distinction. He chooses because he chooses freely of his own mercy, not because of our distinction. So we can say with the angels, glory to God in the highest, not glory to us. We get the joy. God gets the glory. And that sentiment is echoed exactly by the words of Elizabeth when she meets Mary for the first time. Why should this great thing happen to me, that my Lord's mother would come to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true. Elizabeth gets the joy. God gets the glory. Here, two women, the one older, one younger, support one another during this world-changing time. And the Bible is rich with stories of women who are not considered big enough to make the difference in the patriarchy of their day. God subverts human power by choosing those thought to be powerless. God chooses the midwives in Exodus who refused the orders of Pharaoh to kill the Israelite babies during the time of Moses. Remember, God used Miriam to protect Moses and to put him in a basket of bulrushes. Or Ruth and Naomi, who remained committed to one another through widowhood and so brought blessing to the whole of Israel. Not to mention Susanna and Joanna, who supported Jesus financially and provided for his material needs. None of these women would have been considered the expected means of salvation, big enough to play their part in heavenly plans. And yet God has other ideas. God's expected ways of using the little and significant, at least in the world's eyes, will be echoed in Mary's song, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. And Paul sums up this teaching in a word to the church in Corinth when he says, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but in these days I notice that our nation, in different ways, is being brought low, humbled. As a nation in the past, we have been rather proud of and boastful of our power and our might. Will we turn away from this and instead boast in the Lord? Will we turn away from my and your prideful ways and boast only in what God has done? I pray so. So how can we live in the light of these readings this Christmas time? How can we, like Mary and Elizabeth, be receptive to God's call to faithfulness? I believe it combines humility with not thinking so little of ourselves that we are not available to God. Just as in our childhood we may have been told the lie that we are not big enough to make a difference, yet we can make a difference within God's kingdom if we allow him to act through us. So I want to leave you three thoughts that none of us are too little to engage in. Firstly, God can use us as we pray. Prayer changes things. It changes us. The Bible encourages us to pray for our cities, our rulers, governments, and those in authority. None of us is too little to pray with passion this Christmas time for those and other needs. Secondly, God can use us as we serve. Brother Lawrence, a monk who lived more than 300 years ago, learnt that in simple service, God could be encountered. He said, "We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed." What loving service can you offer to others? And thirdly, God can use us as we speak. Each one of us has the opportunity to encounter God and then share that encounter with others. We came to know God's love in Christ because someone spoke of him to us. So what word of encouragement and comfort can you offer to someone this Christmas? It might begin with the words, "I have found that God met me, or helped me, or led me." Tell your story about how God helped, or met, or led you. And you will be surprised how God uses these words that you speak. God can use us as we pray, as we serve, as we speak. The Lord says, "Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest." So the cathedral, God does great things with small beginnings. The birth and birthplace of Christ is evidence of that. You are not too little. In Christ and through Christ, he calls us to do little things with great love. As we do, I believe we will be surprised by what God will achieve. Amen.